This is not a bad theory from Kimmy.
What's that?
But if she's right, it sucks. Because you want to believe that person that's been around the longest, has seen the most, would have the most to offer you.
Yeah.
Would be the wisest. However, this story shows the darker side of being around for a long, long time.
What happened?
Well, folks will revere you, Tommy.
Mm.
They'll look at you as more than just an employee. And it can lead to some very uncomfortable situations. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy, there was the NCAA tournament this weekend.
Yeah.
But it was basketball all over the
place. Oh, yeah, what else?
New York State girls high school basketball tourney wrapped up. Aquinas had a heck of a run, 2-point loss in the championship game.
Wow.
Hold your heads high, ladies.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, those are not the kids we're going to talk about here.
So what happened?
Another team in the tournament made national news after an incident on their sideline after the game.
Was it after the game or during the game?
It was okay, after. I think it was after the game.
Oh. Okay.
Jim Zullo is a New York State girls basketball coaching legend.
Jim Zullo. Okay.
He is 81 years old.
He's 81 still coaching?
81. He has been coaching since the 70s. He was inducted into the New York State Basketball Hall of Fame in 2006, and he did retire. However, he came out of retirement to lead this girls' team he's coaching now. In fact, this girls' team, according to the story, won the state championship last year.
Oh.
They were in the state championship this year. He won't be coaching ever again.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have come back.
An investigation is underway after a video shows the 81-year-old man pulling one of his players' head back by her ponytail.
He yanks it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a yankaroo.
Yeah.
An Australian yank.
It's a Bobby Knight move.
It is so uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
So, again, the incident happened after his team lost in the state championship. And the girl is crying about, if you haven't seen the video.
It's disturbing.
The girl is crying about something before the incident. And it looks like she's got some kind of issue. Mm. He then pulls her hair back to get a good look at her face,
or,
I
like,
guess?
Get her attention.
I don't know what.
But he basically assaults her.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe it.
To the point where the other girls on the team were, like, physically uncomfortable. They start, like, getting in between them.
Which was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, as disturbing as that video was, the fact that those teenage girls,
like, this isn't right. Get the hell out of here.
They got in that guy's face as he's pointing at them. They're yelling at him. No, they're moving the girl down the line to get her away from him.
How those girls did not beat his ass, literally. I am really impressed that they held back. I thought, like, he's going to get his ass kicked.
I'm sure there were some parents that wanted to.
Tommy and I were talking about this off the air. Like, look, you know I'm laid back sports dude, right?
Can you imagine?
I could not contain myself.
Right.
If that happened, even if that happened to your daughter, but if that happened to one of her teammates.
Kimmy, I'd be down the stairs. I'm telling you, there's three or four girls that aren't even my daughter that if that happened to, I'm going down the stairs, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, that aside, it is not easy, as you said, to watch this old man do what he did, then continue to scream at the girls who are defending and trying
pointing
to protect.
Back.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Now, Kimmy, you saw this, and there's been a ton of takes all weekend about the video. You had what might be the best take I've heard.
Well, I said when I saw this video, I thought, man, that's bad. And then I saw his age.
81.
And I thought to myself, it was only a matter of time before this went horribly wrong.
Like, he stayed around too long?
Stuck around too long. Yeah. Like, in your 80s, like, no matter where you work, sure, like, you've probably done things in the past at that job that you could never in a million years do today, right? So, like, even if you stayed up with the times and how you're supposed to be and interact with coworkers, eventually that person's going to do something that their coworkers are going to look a little sideways at, right? Like, you maybe brush it off like, oh, he's just old, he doesn't know any better. But it's going to happen, and it's going to be uncomfortable.
Tell me she's wrong.
I mean, it was pretty ugly. The ugliest I could get.
But, I mean, that take
overall.
And I'm thinking, like, at 81, if this guy has been coaching as long as he has, maybe he did get away with stuff back in the day that nobody said anything about.
Well, you're going to hear from those girls.
We don't know. I mean, maybe this was a one-time only thing, but I'm guessing if you've been around that long and there were things that you could get away with back in the day, I could see why that wasn't a second thought.
I mean, look,
in
this specific case, it does seem like that's not something you do just one time.
Right.
Of course.
Like, he had experience.
You wouldn't be that comfortable doing that.
But along the lines of her point, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I'm sorry. Like, when you stay around too long, right? We see it in sports all the time, especially with kids. Like, their coaching style is not a mix with modern
ideas. Especially when you're working with kids.
Right? Yeah. Their age maybe makes them crankier than they should be in certain situations.
Less patience.
They say things, like you said, that they don't mean, but they end up in trouble. By the way, this coach has been fired. He did issue an apology to the school and the girl whose hair he pulled.
Wow.
No charges filed yet, but the investigation's still open.
Yeah.
But I think this also goes past sports.
What's that?
If you stick around anything too long, the same problems will present themselves. And it sucks for one very specific reason.
What's that?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. You should be able to get all types of wisdom from the person at your job that's been around forever.
Yeah. They've seen it all.
You should be at an advantage if your kid has a coach that has been around for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
Right? What situation have they not been in? What emergency could they not handle? Mm-hmm. They've been doing this longer than some of the people they're working with have been alive.
Older than this building.
But why does it rarely work out that way?
It doesn't.
No.
Why? Can we explain it?
Because, again, I think you just, over time, you get comfortable doing things and you learn that you shouldn't be doing those things that way, but not everybody adjusts.
So that's all it comes down to is adjustment, being willing.
Or just seeing why you shouldn't be doing those things or why you should be doing it a certain way.
I mean, to have that growth means you had to have paid attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you could have been that guy that's been doing it the same way, saying the same thing for 40 years.
Especially if you've had success.
Has success and has never paid attention to the outside world, which is my brother.
Okay.
You become that guy.
There's
two types of guys. Guys that pay attention and guys that are just set in their ways and that's it.
But here's the thing. I know it's easy to like be like, oh, old guys suck.
No.
It's not what I'm saying here.
I understand.
Because there are men and women who have that wisdom and are kind and share that with you. Yes, exactly. Why is it so hard for that to happen? Why? Why is that such a rare occasion? Because look, man, if you're around long enough, you do see things around you. You would have to consciously plug your ears, close your eyes, and go la 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 for like 30 years.
Yes.
Like, look, we bust your balls all the time. You figured it out, and you don't pay attention to nothing.
I didn't hear what you just said, but I agree with you, yes. No, but I guess it's because you may see the things that have changed, and you also don't like it.
Okay.
So we're going to do it my way.
Okay.
You know? Because, like, the one guy that's going to get nowhere fast, kid comes in here and tells me what to do. I've been doing this for 30 years. That guy, you're not going to change his mind.
Okay.
It has to constantly remind you how long he's been there.
Sure.
That's the number one guy that is never going to listen to you.
I disagree with that, too. I get the idea of you're going to show me enough respect where we're going to work together. I'm not saying it's right, but I don't think that makes that person a bad person.
Okay.
No? You disagree?
So, I have a semi-buddy. Actually, not. But big shot in radio.
Okay.
He goes to the Midwest. He's taken over this whole area of the Midwest, and he goes into one of these radio stations, and he goes to talk to the guy that's been running this radio station for like 35 years.
Okay.
Same station, doing it the same way. He goes in and sits in the office with the guy, and the guy looks at him from his desk. Now, this guy is a big shot from the West Coast. This dude is a nobody outside of Columbus, Ohio. You know what he tells him?
What's that?
Because I've seen you guys come and go, so I don't care what you got to say. I'm going to be here in 5 years when you're gone. Bye-bye.
Oh.
That's what he tells the guy.
Oh, good that's first his, meeting. Good
yeah.
first meeting.
And that's his boss he's saying it to. Oh. And he thought like that was a logical way to intimidate a guy that could fire the entire station in a second. But, you know, he's set in his ways, man.
Okay. 252-WCMF. We're talking about this video that has gone international. It's about a New York State high school girls basketball coach, Jim Zullo. He's 81 years old. He's been coaching since the 70s. He's a New York State Basketball Hall of Famer. He came out of retirement to coach this girls team just east of us. The video shows him after a loss in the high school girls championship game. He pulls one
yanks
of his
it.
Yanks. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm not even describing it.
Her head goes back.
It's a Woody Hayes moment.
Yeah.
Like you look at it going like, you got to be kidding me, man. You have no self-control. And that's the first thing I look at. This guy's got no control over himself.
Yeah, you're right. And after he yanks the girl's hair, she somehow gets away from him. He's still yelling.
He's
at
still
his
pissed
head.
Off.
He's pointing. And the other girls, God bless them, man. Credit to them.
Oh.
Get
they
in his face.
Their
and they're trying to protect her. They're moving her down
baseball
this line.
Wasn't right.
He's been fired. There's an investigation into what's going on. He issued an apology to the girl and the team. But Kimmy's take, I think, is right. Sometimes you just stay around too long.
Yep, stuck around too long.
And it sucks. Should
have just called it quits.
These old guys, can't get rid of them.
No, but that's not what I'm saying.
Stay around their mouth all day. Make fun of them. Make fun of their mother.
No, look,
you got to figure like ego does play into it at some point because, like I said, I think it gets it only makes it worse when you have success doing that job that you can point to. It makes you feel even more untouchable for some reason.
Wait, what do you do with that Hall of Fame plaque?
Take it down fast. I don't think the New York State Basketball Hall of Fame is going to have a problem being James, the ghost of James Naismith is not standing over the Hall of Fame. But no, look, again, you keep making this joke, shoot him dead. I know we bust your balls a ton, but there is, I find a lot of value in the wisdom of people that have been around. Not you so much, but everybody else.
Everybody else.
No, but like, look, when you can bridge that generational divide, really good things happen. Mm-hmm. It should that bridge should be open.
Yeah,
it's frustrating that it's so hard for it to work out that way. And this guy's yanking ponytails of teenage girls.
Oh, God.
Ah! 252 WCMF. Let's talk to Jimmy. Oh, sorry, buddy. My button's not working. Hey, Jimmy. How are you, buddy?
Hey, listen. I look at it a different way.
Oh, boy.
This guy pulled her hair. He didn't grab her privates or slap her. He pulled her hair. You know something? I saw that this morning on World News, and I thought, oh, my God, look what he did. Then I'm watching another channel that says she got mouthy and swore or whatever. The picture doesn't even show the whole thing.
I don't think it needs to.
Hold on. Tommy is raising his hand.
No, but wait.
I'm going home.
Hold on.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. Good seeing you.
You know, listen, I remember years ago, I saw one of my friend's kids call the mother an effing thing, and I told my friend, I said, you know something? If I had a kid that did that to me, I'd put his head through the wall so quick, and then I'd say, come on, we're going to go through every room. I'm going to put your head. I couldn't.
Go room to room.
Think about the masonry.
I don't know how anybody can have the patience to swear whatever. This guy's 80 years old.
Jimmy, let me. Can I time out you for a second?
Wait, I just want to say one more thing. It was acceptable behavior when he grew up. If somebody got cocky like that, you were to do something.
Hey, Jimmy, I promise you, there is not an era where a father would have watched a grown man pull his daughter's hair where he would have been like, that's what you get. Two, if you are at a point in your life where you can't, and let's say she did get, as you put it, mouthy.
Yeah.
Let's say that did happen.
In a heated basketball game.
Exactly. Yeah, after you just lost, right? You don't put your hands on a kid. And if you can't not put your hands on a kid, that job's not for you.
You know, again, he pulled her hair.
Jimmy,
he assaulted her.
Jimmy, I'm going to let you go, Jimmy. Thanks for the call, buddy. What?
I can remember you could assault a kid. Teach him a lesson.
What?
Show me a parent that would stand for that.
That's absolutely right. There was
like
never
somebody
been in
else
history.
Putting your hands on a kid like that.
Yeah,
show
there's
me
never
another
been,
parent.
Yeah.
That's the same. And I know that this is terrible too, right? Like, it's one thing. I guess you can make an argument where 30 or 40 years ago, a guy could have put his hands on a 17-year-old boy on a sideline and the father would have been like, oh, that's what you're doing to make him a man. Still disturbing.
Yeah.
But I guess you can make that argument based on the time. Show me a father at any point in American history where an 81-year-old man yanks his daughter's hair and he goes, ah, you're making a woman out of her.
Yes.
Yes.
A matter of fact, let's say that coach was a female.
Mm-hmm.
Same scenario. You're just as pissed off, man.
Yeah.
And I don't care what age.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you 100%. I am.
Yeah,
I didn't think we'd get that call.
Deeply bothered by that. Yep.
Jimmy.
I heard she was being mouthy. I heard, guys.
Well, that's what happened to him. He got mouthy one time.
So to wrap up this discussion in a non-hurt children way, look, there are exceptions to this rule that you stayed around too long. Mm-hmm. And when you find one, those guys are worth their weight in gold. So when I worked at Wegmans in the prepared food section, there was this guy, Don, and he had to be in his 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was funny, and he was friendly, and he was super patient. I loved this man. He always came in like 2 hours earlier than everyone else to make all the sandwiches.
Yeah.
And I looked forward to going in the back because he was in the cold room like making all the sandwiches. And,
yeah.
You know, we joke and laugh back and forth. His granddaughter worked in the same thing. He was just the sweetest guy. But I don't know if he stood out because he was such a great dude or because it was so surprising.
You just wouldn't expect it.
Well, I didn't realize until just now I had never had that experience before. You know what I mean?
A kind old guy.
The problem, however, Tommy.
Yeah.
This is going to be happening a lot more now.
What, this?
No, not the assault.
Guys hanging around too long?
Well, yeah, retiring is now a luxury.
Oh, yeah. Right? Everybody's busted.
We got to work till we die.
Mm-hmm.
So the age of people you work with over the next couple of years...
going to go up.
That are especially working with kids, right? Yeah. I mean, and they're doing important things. And maybe they are valuable. Like, they need to keep those jobs for the sake of everybody else, but...
But you're going to have some bad ones, and the bad ones, they're going to stick out.
Let's just hope like the next crop of 80-year-olds over the next 15, 20 years.
A little more patience.
Yeah, be careful, man. They got new hips and knees. They're on Viagra. You're going to have some jacked up artificial hip dude losing his crap.
Let's take a break. He's a household name despite his most famous athletic event being the worst night of his life.
Yeah.
And that's because, Tommy, as remarkable as his athletic career was, he is a household name, arguably, for a different reason.
Yeah.
And he's an easy guy to love, man. Charming, did things the right way, an iconic athlete.
Which is hard because he had to live in the shadow of another icon in his sport who was also a fabulous pitchman back in the day.
Great point. Great point. But here's the thing. As easy as it was for every generation to love this guy, I think you can make the argument.
What's that?
That every athlete you hate now is able to do what they do because of him.
Oh, really?
You're hanging out in the breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF will jump right into it. George Foreman passed away over the weekend at the age of 75. And Kimmy, if I ask you the first thing that pops in your head when you think of George Foreman?
A grill.
There you go. George Foreman.
Indoor grill.
Yeah.
Now,
we had one.
That's great.
Yeah, but that sounds like something her old man would run right out and buy.
Bro, every dad in the 90s, we had one at our house.
Look, you can grill all year round.
We used it like twice, and he realized how hard it was to clean, and then it just sat in a cabinet for the rest of its life.
My dad would cook the most unhealthy meat, thinking it was making it healthy.
Hot dogs for everybody.
You look, the fat's running right off. Look at it right there. It's very deep. Now, for those, the Kimmies of the world, those who don't know, George Foreman at one point was the most feared boxer in the mid-1970s in the world. He destroyed Joe Frazier to win a heavyweight championship. He crushed bruising fighters like Ron Lyle, Ken Norton. His most famous fight ever was a chance to put Muhammad Ali out to pasture forever.
Shut his mouth up.
That's all right. But look, if he lost that fight, Ali's done. It's over. In the Rumble in the Jungle. It is one of the greatest upsets, not only in boxing history, but in sports history. Foreman lost that fight. His most famous fight was the most brutal loss of his career. And to prove my point, Tommy, George Foreman also became the oldest heavyweight champ at the age of 45.
So he does his comeback. He takes some time off and comes back.
Yep. He became a preacher, got out of the public eye, starts his comeback in, I believe, 1989.
And I think it was to raise money for his church.
You nailed it. At least that's what he said.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
But I bring up that his most famous fight was the most brutal loss of his career. He did something no one had ever done, won the heavyweight championship at 45 years old. Who did he beat?
Michael somebody.
Close.
Am I close?
Yeah. You got the first name.
You?
Michael Moorer.
Michael Moore,
but
yes.
You could win a lot of money. I mean, the guy did something never done before, and the only fight people remember is the fight that Ali rope-a-doped him and knocked him out, right? Fun fact, by the way.
What's that?
Big George fought at the War Memorial here in Rochester
really?
In 1989 in his comeback trail to the heavyweight championship.
Oh, so he was coming up. All right.
There are
saw his interview with Catalana.
Wait, was that on over the weekend?
Yeah, well, Catalana posted it.
Oh,
yeah.
I love young Catalana. His head... far too big for his body at that age. He looks like a ballpoint pen. But to Kimmy's point, Tommy, it was the grill that made him uber famous.
Oh, yeah.
And that wasn't all. Big George had a sitcom based on his life.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Well, I did when I started seeing like his highlights.
So it was on ABC in the 90s. It was called George.
Yeah.
He won an Oscar as part of the documentary When We Were Kings, also in the 90s.
Which is a great movie.
It is one of the best sports documentaries, life documentaries you'll ever see.
Did he have a talk show for a while?
I don't know. Kimmy, you want to Google that?
It was like when everybody was getting talk shows. Remember, like, Magic got a talk show.
Are you ready for Magic? He was in movies, The Night at the Museum, The Fighter, which was a movie about his life, TV shows like Home Improvement, The Larry Sanders Show, King of the Hill. You get what I'm saying here, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy was an icon.
Yeah, he was.
And I think you can argue, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, he is the reason why pro athletes are so much more than pro athletes are
now.
Walk with me, Tommy.
I am.
Can you name me a pro athlete before George Foreman that had the success outside of the sport that he did?
Well, like being a pitch man and things of that nature?
Okay, so it's different.
And sitcom star and all that?
Okay, so you got, let's walk through this. You got sitcom, you got movies, you got product with his name on it, you got the pitch man stuff. You're right, there are guys that sold products. There are guys that were in movies, became actors.
Yeah.
George Foreman was the first ever athlete that became a brand.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably so, because I'm thinking like,
you invented an appliance that nobody else had.
But in fact, he didn't invent it. They put his name on it.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm saying, like, people only know that as a George Foreman. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't, you wouldn't call it anything else.
You're right. No, you're right. But he, unless I am mistaken, and if I'm wrong, tell me, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. George Foreman was the first athlete that made himself a brand.
Yeah, probably so. Because I'm thinking, like, you know, you had DiMaggio. He pushed Mr. Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Like they started calling him Mr. Coffee, which I think pissed him off until he got the checks.
But I mean, like, you know, no Italian guy likes a nickname that you give him. He wants to call me Rocket.
But to your point, like, I can't think of anybody that did so much like him.
I mean, like, to the point where, name another athlete where you know their name not for the sport they were in, that before Foreman, that transcended what made them famous. And again, folks do not understand the impact and how good he was as a boxer because he was so successful afterwards. Which brings us to the dark side of this conversation.
What is that?
Well, here's the thing. George Foreman is a very easy guy to love.
Oh, he's a good family man. And he's a good husband.
Okay, I know you. You've been itching to get this.
Well, I had to go Wikipedia because I thought differently. But I thought, like, maybe I got the wrong boxer.
So he's got a lot of kids.
Yep. A lot of them got the same name.
They're all named George and Georgina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, they're going Christian man, family man, pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But then I find out he's been married 5 times. And like those
same
first
four. Same as your sister.
Yes.
Well, they called her the George Foreman of Florida weddings.
So he also, the first four marriages failed before 1985.
Yeah, I believe that.
So like he blew through some wives pretty quick.
I mean,
back in the day.
The guy was a nasty dude back when he was fighting, man.
Yeah.
Like just angry all the time.
Right.
Any footage you see of him back in the day, he's.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, George Foreman passing away at 75 becomes way more famous for the grill and all of his media projects than the actual amazing career that he had. There are athletes today that some folks despise for what they do off of the field. And I'm not talking crime and stuff like that. Business
don't
ventures.
Like him. Yeah.
For example, Pat McAfee, former punter for the Indianapolis Colts. He now hosts a very famous show and podcast that is on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
That guy sells products with his name on it. He has made himself a brand. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Well, he's
that's a brand.
Yeah. That guy has 15 different businesses. Aaron Rodgers is going to be that guy. Tom Brady is that guy.
Mahomes, same thing.
Will be that guy.
He will be that guy.
He kind of already is. He's in every ad you watch.
You're right. But again, he's still doing the pitch man thing.
Yeah.
Like, when
Peyton
I buy
Manning?
The,
could you argue Peyton Manning's
well,
up there?
Peyton Manning's hard to hate. Everybody loves Peyton Manning.
Oh, I thought you just meant like guys who have made themselves their own brand.
Well, like I'm trying to think of like guys that I know. It's not even an old guy thing, right? Like there, it's just guys ages 18 all the way up. Like, you know, you're an athlete. Go out on the field. Go out. Those guys would not exist if it weren't for George Foreman. George Foreman paved the road for them.
Yeah.
And if George Foreman doesn't do that, who everybody loves, you don't get all these guys that you absolutely despise. Deion Sanders, his son who's about to be drafted in April, right?
Forgot about Deion.
Deion Sanders did the George Foreman school of how to make yourself a brand.
Yeah, you're right.
And he did it before he won the heavyweight championship.
And now he's a talking bird.
I do love those commercials. There's something about a bird in a cowboy hat with a chain around its neck that really does it for me.
People are tweeting us Honus Wagner as somebody who first started their own brand.
No.
I'm just passing it along.
What? I mean, because of the baseball card's value?
Are they thinking of Ty Cobb who invested in Coca-Cola?
But again, like, nobody knew that till after his death, practically. Who followed Ty Cobb's business career?
Well, his accountant.
That's it. And he probably didn't like that accountant based on a few things.
Says they, it's a blurb that says sports endorsements became the foundation of athlete branding starting back in the early 1900s with Honus Wagner allowing Louisville Slugger to print his signature on their back.
Okay, that's great. Like that guy's a, he is a barnstormer for endorsements. But I didn't go by the Honus Wagner Home
right,
Entertainment
like you
system.
Wouldn't have right. called it that. Yeah,
yeah, you know what yeah. I mean? I get it. Like, I'm not trying to take away from anybody. I'm just saying I can't find anybody other than George that did it before.
Yeah.
Him, right? He also was a master of his public image. Yeah. Based on the fact that nobody knew he was married five times until you just brought it up in Wikipedia.
Does it help, though, that that was pre-social media?
Oh, yeah.
You
oh,
know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
all that. Like, I don't know if you'll ever really have that,
no,
that control
right.
again.
We'll talk to Matt Milano. Nobody knows anything about him.
Oh, yeah. Follow his lead.
You know, the other funny thing about this.
What's that?
252 WCMF. Again, we're talking about George Foreman. Passes away over the weekend at 75. Must have been a heart attack. He, I didn't hear he was sick.
Yeah, they didn't say like he was battling anything.
When he regained his heavyweight title for the second time, like we said, he was 45 years old.
Yeah.
And I want you to think back. What was that, 94?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. When he did it, they could not believe how a man this ancient could do what he did. And it was almost like he was a joke. Remember, he would do those commercials where he was running, eating donuts, training for a fight? If you look at pro sports now, every league has multiple players that are over the age of 40.
But those guys work at it 24/7. These old guys didn't. Like, they had to go get back into shape, where these guys now, they just train.
Yeah.
Understood. But I would love to see in 1994
yeah.
how many, if there were any, of the four major sports, guys were over 40.
I think 40. The NBA was really good at it. Like
Kareem,
Shaq.
Yeah.
But Kareem only played like because brand. He was broke.
Okay.
You're talking about the 90s?
I'm talking about the age of the athlete.
Like sticking around.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
But it usually was because they were out of money.
Still was able to do it. And by the way, George might have done this because he was out of money.
But, yeah.
You know what I mean?
20 kids, yeah.
But like you look at LeBron, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Justin Verlander in Major League Baseball. All of those guys are over 40, close to 45. It's not something we even really bat an eye at anymore. Like, we make jokes about it.
But if you look at George in that fight, he's got an old man body. He's kind of doughy. He's got some tires on him. You know what I mean? He looks like a guy that shouldn't be in the ring at that age.
Well, you know why, buddy?
Why?
Power never ages. You get less quick.
Yeah, but it definitely gets blubbery.
I made them. You know, I love boxing.
Yeah.
I could talk about boxing for hours. I made the mistake of going down the rabbit hole of watching George Foreman fights.
Oh.
And he has this one punch. Google it, because it's remarkable. He called it the walking man uppercut. So.
Okay.
Well, you know, you start in your own corner. The bell dings.
Yeah.
He would take five steps and just uppercut the dude right in the face.
So
they would
just
never see it
running
coming.
In
no, up underneath. Oh. Like, the guy would have his hands over his head. Da-da-da-da-da. Bah! And he's just unconscious.
So that was like his signature move?
He did it a couple of times, and I'd never seen anyone else do it.
Yeah, I think guys would know that's coming after a while.
Well, they've been hit in the face for a little while.
Yeah. True.
All right, well, rest in peace, Big George, and I'm sure your five wives are very sad that you passed. You know, if you've grown up in Rochester, been here long enough, you've seen everything.
Oh, sure.
Right? And we love our history, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much. You're going to get to it as long as you stay.
Yeah, apparently not. Because one of the newest, potentially to-be, historic places, someone in this room... has never been.
Never been.
Wow.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. It was announced over the weekend that the state of New York has nominated the Colgate Divinity School for historic designation.
Okay.
It's near Highland Park. You've seen the building. Mm-hmm. It is described on 10NBC as Gothic style.
Yeah. We went to a wedding there.
We did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out Big Mark. What's up, bud?
Yeah.
Did you like it when you went?
Never been. Wow. Because when I saw this, I go, I didn't even know, I knew of the building just because I knew people at their weddings there and stuff. I had no idea it was of any significance.
Can we time out?
Yeah.
Did you not get invited to the weddings you should have been invited to? Were you just not popular when all your friends
No,
were
I'm saying
married?
I knew it was a wedding venue.
Gotcha. Well, it's just funny. I had lots of friends that got married there. Didn't invite me, though.
No, I said
I wasn't invited. This is too classy. We got a pool and a pond. Pond's good for you.
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry, I was insulting your friend.
Yeah. No, but other than it being just like an event space, I did not know that there was any significance to it historically in town. Because again, like growing up here, you think you learn about all this stuff and stuff that doesn't even really matter in the long run. But this was not, this I guess was left off the list. I don't know what it is.
I'm surprised you never learned about something like this. By the way, just the way, there are like 15 buildings in Rochester that just looking at them, you know that there is like something special about them.
Oh, they went way back.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it looks it.
Yeah. How do you look at this and be like, well, that's not something how do you not walk up to it like in Highland sometime?
Well, you can, I mean, you could see it from the hill. I've never actually gone up there and checked it out.
I ain't going all the way up there. Just learn about goddamn holy toothpaste. I got old toothpaste. I got Pepsodyne in my house.
All right, let me ask you a question. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Is there a historic Rochester place you've never been?
I don't think so, but I mean, you would have to... I mean, I think I've been to just about every place.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you are a guy that loves his history, even if it's just to go crap on it.
Yeah, but even with the show, we did a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Is there anywhere else you're ashamed you haven't been? Is this the only one?
I guess I wouldn't know until something like this pops up, and I'm like, oh, I've never been inside there. I never knew what that was. It's something, could be something you pass every day and just, you know, have no idea.
I am surprised, like, sometimes even with my wife, who was born and raised here, I'll say something like, oh, that's the old so-and-so. She goes, well, I never heard of that. I go, well, how do you not hear of that? That was like, that place is like everybody knew about it.
Don't be that guy.
But I have to.
No, you know, you don't have to do anything. You just go, oh, okay, and then move on.
No, I can't, I can't let it go.
Do you have to give her like the whole background too?
Well, like, you know, some things just change, but I'll go like, yeah, they used to be Boners.
There it
But they're quality hot dogs.
Yeah, no, I hear Boners just missed out on a National Registry
of Historic Places. Bro, they were looking at them when they were passing the hot dog act of 72.
All right, so you know that I've been born and raised here.
Yeah.
Love this community. There are two places that I will admit I am ashamed I have never been.
What's up?
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I have never been in the Susan B. Anthony house.
Really?
Never. Oh, my God.
I've never been. I don't know. Just never happened.
Like field trips. Yeah. Wait, you didn't take a field trip? I thought that was like a standard field trip for like school.
So we talked about this. When I was in elementary and middle school, I went to Gates Chilai, and for some reason during my run there, we only had the worst possible field trips. I went to the Dolomite Pit like 15 times.
Well, I've never been to the Dolomite Pit, though.
I don't know if that's a historic hole. We'd have to go to Tommy's mom's house. And I've never taken a boat trip on the Erie Canal.
Really?
Did you miss that day? I thought every...
the sand patch?
Also never happened as a field trip when I was in school. No, I wouldn't have missed Canal Day. Canal Day's fun day.
Wait, hold on. Yes, you have.
Have I?
You didn't do the comedy show with me.
No, I wasn't with you on that.
You didn't?
No.
We did it twice. I thought you did it once with us.
No, I've never been in a boat.
We got thrown off the boat.
Well, there's a first. Never heard of
that happening. No, like into the water.
The captain of the boat cussed us down the street.
No, I wasn't on that. No, I've never been on a boat.
Oh, okay. So you've never been on the...
Nope.
I mean, it's... I always thought that was like
a standard,
when I walk the canal, I see so many of those kids doing like those early, like late school year field trips on the sand patch.
What do you want from me, man? I didn't do it. My kids have both done it. They got to do it on field trips. I never went on that field trip. Didn't exist for me.
So have you ever been? So then you've done nothing like regionally then either. Probably.
What do you mean by that? Oh, you're gonna try to judge me now?
No, but like I just thought there were certain things like you would take a trip to. Like Corning to see the glass.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah.
Okay. No, I've never been there.
You've never been to Corning?
Not to see. Like, I think I had a soccer tournament there once. Never went to the glass, the Museum of Glass.
It was just named one of the, like the top museums in America last week.
I always thought that was like a standard field trip for kids.
No, I went there when I was on the road because I had nothing to do for the day.
Oh, you didn't even go there as a kid?
No, it was fun. It was weird going alone.
Because that's how I did it the same way, except I went with our buddy, another comic.
Like, Kimmy, okay, so they have, like, a glass show?
Well, it's like an art museum, right? Yeah. Just with glass?
Yes, but they also have, like, these demonstrations where they
had her blowing and got right in line.
So, like...
He was looking for work.
When you get into these glass...
I'm here.
When you get into these demonstrations, it's like stadium seating, and there's, like, you know, classrooms, families...
They put on a show.
Yeah, they do.
It seems like something would be... Kind of fun to watch.
If you're a kid,
But I was doing a show in Corning overnight, and I was like 18. I had nothing to do, so I'm sitting there by myself.
With
18.
A bunch of children.
Yeah, like, okay. I did the same thing at the Cleveland
Science
Museum.
Who wants to participate?
It was very strange.
Try going there with another guy who weighs 300 pounds.
252-WCMF. The Colgate Rochester Crozier Divinity School has been nominated as a historic place by folks here in New York State. Kimmy's never been there. He's planning on going. Mm. I find it hard to believe because, like, you know what's funny about you? We're talking about historic Rochester places we've never been.
Yeah.
You don't think history matters if you haven't been.
Yes.
That's why you can't think of anything historic that you haven't been to.
Why? Well, if you throw something at me, I don't know.
White Lady's Castle, you been up there?
No, I've been going out there. Ghost story.
That's super historic. You never been there?
It didn't happen.
Okay, it's.
I like to see history that actually happened.
It's still, what is that? What's the equivalent or the significance of that? The castle itself. Minus
we looked it up. It was.
She was
it
her
like,
husband
no,
died
I know
at sea.
The story,
no, but the
idiot.
actual.
And her husband
structure.
Didn't die at
she
sea.
Had, she had chlamydia.
No, that was your mom. That was Tommy's mom's lady's castle, and all the guys got all up in that castle. Didn't even need a Trojan horse.
Yeah, I get it.
In fact, she preferred you whipped it off. They called her Bareback Castle.
Yeah, I'm here for the blowing exhibit.
You can try to pull it back. Whatever, your mom's a whore.
Yeah, I'm trying. I forgot what it was.
Have you
what it was actually used for? I thought it was just like almost used as like an old storage.
Okay.
Building at some point.
Have you ever ridden on the Charlotte Carousel?
No. The only historic thing I've ridden on is your mom.
How many mom jokes we can do? We are way know. Over our.
No, I can't get. I've been down there, but I have not been. I've been on the Jackrabbit.
Wow.
Why? I mean, come on. Wow,
wow. No, I'm surprised you haven't been on the carousel.
It's weird when you're my age to be on the
yeah.
carousel.
Yeah,
no kids.
Hey, look at me.
It passed him by. Yeah.
But you went on the Jackrabbit. That wasn't weird.
Well, it was because, again, we were with the station.
Yeah,
we
get, what'd you do? One of those dynamite. But we're going to ride a roller coaster for 5 straight hours. This is what radio is in 1993. Look at us. Number one. Oh, we're back on the roller coaster again. Check it out. Now, a 2-hour interview with a guy that watches movies. God, you suck so hard.
Yeah, I pay the bills.
Okay, I'm getting word that White Lady's Castle
was an old dining hall.
A hot dog stand? No, that
no,
can't be.
It says it's actually the ruins of a refectory. And
that doesn't
quote,
help us. What's
says,
a refectory?
Well, it says dining hall okay. for lake visitors.
Okay, you didn't have to be that person. You could have just said dining hall.
That's what it
hall.
Says.
That's a refectory.
I want to get it right so nobody yells at me.
Okay, who cares? Who cares? Nobody knows anything about anything.
You know what, though? Maybe I don't want to learn about all that history because it may just be something boring and the story around it is more fun.
No, but that makes you look like an idiot when somebody actually asks what it is.
True.
Okay, I guess.
Castle by the Lake, in my opinion.
All right, you don't have kids, so I guess you don't have to worry about this because, like, my girls ask me questions about stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have to know because I don't want to be my dad and just make something up and then you look like an idiot for the rest of your
life. Yeah. But, because they can Google it now, too.
Oh, but they don't. My kids can't Google it. They won't. They'll ask me. Like, I have to know everything all the time.
Yeah.
But my dad told me there was a Tyrannosaurus skeleton in the Dolomite Pit in Gates.
Yeah, they found it down there. Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. It wasn't like
a Bill's cap.
It wasn't like a cute, fun thing.
Yeah.
I think he really believed that.
Like they uncovered
dinosaur
it.
Bones.
Yeah. Like, or it's
when
down
they
there.
Were digging.
Somehow they know it's down there and they, you can't disturb me. You want
well,
the Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, be careful.
Come back to life.